Welcome to the June Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont. I'm joined by my colleague, the news director at KVNF, Eric Gould, and our special guest today is Mr. Don Supas, the Delta County Commissioner for District 2.
District 2, yes, sir.
Right. What I want to start with is a subject that I don't believe we have ever discussed on this program. At least I've never been involved with it. And that is the North Fork Mosquito Abatement District. This district has to do with the entire county in controlling mosquitoes, which, as we all know, are responsible for a very serious illness, West Nile virus. While this district is responsible for the county, actually one third of the county has zero mosquito control. And that includes Crawford, Rogers Mesa, Lazier, the fish hatcheries, and the towns of Orchard City, Cedar Edge, and certain other areas around Grand Mesa. The big problem seems to be, from a little report that I was given here, is that the district, that is to say the mosquito district, is severely underfunded and cannot extend service to areas on three sides of Hotchkiss, some areas of around the Crawford Reservoir, and certain other areas. And they say that they need a complete revamp of their entire district. And like everything else, it gets down to money. And what they want to do, as I understand it, is to have the mosquito district declared a special district so it will be eligible for a mill tax levy. Don, I don't know if you know anything about this. I'm sure you know something about it. I hope I've stated the thing correctly. If I haven't, correct me first, and then tell us about this mosquito district, because it's something that I don't think has got a lot of publicity, and it certainly is important. I happen to have two friends, both in the Rotary Club, who have recovered from West Nile virus, and they frankly admit that they almost died with it. It's very serious. So talk about West Nile virus.
Well, West Nile virus is absolutely a terrible illness when people get it. There's a couple different variations of it you can get, to the way I understand. And some of the people who get to severe West Nile virus, they're out, down and out for several months.
Yeah, because both it is, of these friends of mine were, yeah.
Yeah, it's very debilitating. You know, I'm not as familiar with the North Fork Mosquito District as I am with the Delta Mosquito District. And the reason I'm familiar with that one is because when I was mayor of Orchard City, part of their district actually expanded into the very southern part of Orchard City. And then the rest had no mosquito protection. So at that time, Orchard City used to pay to spray the town limits of Orchard City. And that had to come to an end due to a ruling under the Obama administration that the EPA would no longer allow aerial spraying over waterways. So the town of Orchard City had to stop that practice, and it definitely increased the mosquito population. You know, the part of the problem that these districts have, and it's not just the mosquito district, it's all the districts in the county, we're suffering from the reduction in the residential assessment rate. So the residential assessment rate is a number that's based upon Gallagher and the 45-55 split of commercial versus residential, and then they set that rate on a statewide basis, which is okay when you're the Denver area and you've got a lot of residential growth and you've got a lot of
relatively higher income.
Right. You've got a lot more of that revenue. Yeah. But for rural counties like Delta, that residential assessment rate has really hurt. Our library districts have suffered greatly. Ambulance district, the school district, they've all suffered from this residential assessment rate drop. And as you guys know, Tabor being the law of the land here in this state, we don't get increased taxes unless it goes to a vote of the people. Very few people are willing to raise their taxes for the sake of a residential assessment rate being a little bit lower. But it has happened. We've seen some taxes pass that, you know, the people have gone out, the districts have gone out, they've made a case with the people, and the people have voted for that tax increase. So it's possible that this could be one of those cases that's just a matter of getting out and making a case to the people and getting something like that to happen.
Have you recently had any representative from the Mosquito District organization appear before commissioners?
We have not. We've had conversations with the library district because they're looking at a issue this fall to put on the ballot to increase their levy, but we have not talked.
The reason I say that, in this bulletin which put out by the Mosquito District, they ended by saying, "We ask the commissioners to make the North Fork Mosquito District a line item on their budget, but to no avail." They claim "but to no avail." And I'm just curious about that.
Well, the county gets a lot of requests for spending. There's somebody always asking.
Yeah.
So we really find it tough to pick and choose who we fund and who we don't. And if we fund this district, we have to fund that district and several others. And then pretty soon county services that we are required to provide by statute, we start struggling to find the money for those. So I'd have to read this letter and to give you a better answer than that.
Well, have we ever discussed this before?
Not me personally, but I do know from other stories and people I've talked to with the whole mosquito issue, a lot of the problem is they can't get united behind one approach to get rid of the bugs because different towns have different ideas. I know here in Paonia, it was a battle. A lot of people here in town do not want spray of any kind.
Yeah.
And they have had complications with trying to get organized behind a single plan for mosquito eradication. And just doesn't seem like over the years anyone's been able to agree on one.
And then one thing that this bulletin points out is that mosquitoes can travel 5 or 10 miles in their normal activity. And so if they're infected in one place, they can carry it to another. And another thing I didn't know was that these infected mosquitoes attack birds, and birds can carry it. And then birds, of course, fly many places, bigger distances. And if they're there and other uninfected mosquitoes bite them, they pick it up too. So it's pretty easy to spread this virus, apparently.
Yeah, I'm no entomologist, but I've heard the same thing. And you know, I know a lot of people with horses, you know, they get their animals.
Yeah, horses get involved.
They get them vaccinated every year because it's an issue.
Yeah. Not to spend too much time on this one subject, but it kind of fascinated me. And
it caused a buzz, huh?
Yeah. Don, I'm going to turn you over to Eric Carey. He always has some very insightful questions about various things.
Well, thank you, Felix.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are just joining us, this is the Delta County Commissioner's Report. The June edition is with District 2 Commissioner Don Supis. I'm Eric Gould with KVNF News, here with Felix Belmont and Commissioner Supis. We've been talking about the Mosquito District and some of the issues involved with that, and we're going to shift gears here a little bit. And I want to ask the Commissioner, the Delta County Independent reported that the county has signed a contract with Stryker and Company of Montrose to build a new human services building. I just wonder, sir, if you could just talk about that project. Why is a new building necessary? Where will the new one be? And what improvements will the new one offer?
Well, Delta County is kind of getting struck by about four different sides right now that's causing this project to be built. Number one, our human services staff, which do an amazing job. We're at full capacity right now. We really have no more space for anybody else. So we needed to do something to enable some more space because the human services need is not going to go away. It's getting more and more every year, it seems, with all the mandates that are coming down from the state and feds. Secondly, we've got an attorney's building that is pretty well at life. It's had some flooding issues. It's just an old building that we've tried to keep going for the attorneys, and its life is done. Thirdly, we are faced with the real need to add another courtroom. We need another district courtroom in Delta County. Our caseload is so high that they're having trouble keeping up. The district judge in Delta County is operating, last I heard, about a 1.4 FTE caseload. So that's full-time employee. So that he's carrying an extra burden, and had a recent meeting with the chief district judge, and this is coming. You know, they're going to push for us to have another courtroom. And the other problem we had is the county courthouse is full. You know, we don't have any more room. So the best option we had was to take the property that the county owns directly west of the current courthouse complex and build a human services building that would also house probation and the DA's office, which they are currently in modular buildings that are out there on that property. And those modulars that were supposed to be a 1 or 2 year fix have been there now for over 10 years. So we are undertaking the process of building this building. It's going to be approximately a 16,000 square foot building. We'll offer human services space. We'll offer a probation section and a section for the DA. And we'll also offer another public meeting room, which the county desperately needs. We always seem to be lacking meeting space. We've got really one room on the courthouse complex that we can have a meeting in. This will double that capacity and give us some chance to use that.
Now, where's the money coming from? Out of the general budget?
This is money that, thanks to the fiscal responsibility of our commissioners, this is money that we've been able to save. Most of it's the PILT funding we get from the feds that gets stuck into a pot that we've collected for a courthouse complex. The primary goal of this was to eventually build a new courthouse. But with the cost of courthouse, the cost of building these days, I don't think we get the voters of this county to spend between $30 and $60 million on a new courthouse complex. I am hoping that we can add this building and do a new courtroom, remodel the existing human services building, and fall well within that mark. I'm hoping, I'd really like to see us get this whole thing done for less than $5 million.
Well,
which, when you start figuring the square footage of amount of work we're doing, it's a real project. Right now, the initial price on this building that we're building now is about $2.4 million, and that's this year's project. This is a multi-phase project. The next phase will be remodeling the existing human services and moving county administration staff into that building. And then phase three will be upgrading courthouse security and turning our current second floor into a district courtroom and probably either court offices or district attorney offices, one or the other.
Yeah, $2.4 million was the number I saw as well for the contract with Stryker. And I just wanted to make sure, did you say that comes out of reserves?
It comes out of we have a line item in our reserves that are labeled, that is labeled for courthouse construction.
Okay, and are there any other county building projects that are scheduled? How would you define the state of county buildings and facilities right now in the county?
You know, for the most part, we're pretty good. The courthouse that we're in now, it was built fairly well. Our jail, that's going to be the next item of concern once we get past this project here. We're going to have to seriously look at finding some way to increase the capacity of our jail. That was built in the early 80s, and you know, for the most part, we've done pretty good. We've kept it within control, but there's times when people they're in between sentencing. Part of that's the lack of courtroom space. Part of that's just human nature in general. And we've got a lot of capacity issues right now in our jail that we've got to look at too.
With this proposed sales tax that's coming up on the next ballot for public safety, would the jail get any money from that?
You know, that's to be determined. You know, that ultimately, what it does is it just increases the pot. It's going to give a little more flexibility, you know, should it pass. It'll give a little more flexibility for the commissioners to take part of their budget and use it for other items that need to be done.
Outstanding. Well, we're here talking to Commissioner Don Supas. This is KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. And thanks for joining us. If you've just now come on board, we've been talking about mosquito abatement and buildings and facilities. We'll shift gears here and talk about a different subject with Commissioner Don Supas. I wondered, where is the county in the process of getting hemp regulated and growing, actually getting it in the ground around the county? The new farm bill had a lot to say about hemp and how it should be classified and regulated. I just wondered who in the county is studying this issue and who is the point person to talk to?
right now we are taking this hand in hand with our land use renovation that we're doing right now. As you know, we're taking on land use discussions, trying to revamp our land use plan. And hemp is definitely part of that plan. We are, right now, there is no regulation about hemp and hemp growth in Delta County. Part of that's because it's really such a baby industry. Everybody's still trying to figure out how it works and what works, what doesn't work. You know, right now, our bigger concerns are more on the processing part of that, because some of those processes require a lot of chemicals, a lot of flammable gases, the way I understand. So there may be a need to regulate that end of it, but we're still trying to figure out
the safety angle to it.
That's right. That's right. It's the safety angle.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the plant growth, the main complaint we hear is about the smell. You know, it definitely stinks, and I'll be the first one to admit that. But it is a crop that people are making money with. We've had a lot of money come into the valley in the last 6 months, buying property, leasing property, building buildings for the hemp industry. So, you know, we're watching it close, making sure nothing goes bad. And honestly, we're just trying to learn as much as we can right now. The planning department's kind of taking the lead as far as making sure that they're staying on top of what gets done and the regulations needed. And it will definitely be a part of our land use plan as we move forward.
Is there any way you can offer some kind of time frame for when farmers can know that Delta County is ready to go and they can start growing here?
Honestly, they can grow now. There's nothing stopping anybody from growing hemp right now. In fact, if you drive around this valley, you drive around Delta, there's a lot of hemp getting put in the ground. There has been a lot of hemp. There was quite a bit grown on California Mesa last year, quite a bit grown in this valley last year. So hemp is here already, and there's nothing stopping it. Right now, currently, the only thing you have to do is get a permit through the state of Colorado through the Ag Department.
Outstanding. We're here with Don Supas, commissioner from District 2 in Delta County. Well, I have a couple more that we can talk about, and then maybe one a little bit different subject we can close with. Let's talk a little bit about the census. That's a very big deal going on across the country. And at the May 7th meeting of the commissioners, they decided that they're going to designate a complete count committee for the 2020 census. And it said that representatives from each municipality and surrounding area will be recruited to help organize canvassers and implement a public notification campaign. I wondered, sir, if you could just talk about that. How important is it for the county to get an accurate count of its population?
You know, it is very critical that we get a good count. So many of our services, monies that we receive from the federal government to supplement the programs that we are required to administer are based upon those census counts. And if we don't have good numbers to start with, we could be stuck left holding the bag a little bit, because we've got more to serve than what the federal government knows of. So it's very critical that we get those numbers. And it's just good information. When you know the actual count of population in your county and know where they're located and have some idea of whether it be the basics like income levels or type of household, it gives you the information you need to properly serve the citizens.
Now, is it true that some people are afraid of the census in the sense, or afraid of answering questions in the sense that, like if they're recent immigrants or something like that, that they might have to reveal something they haven't revealed?
You know,
have you run into that?
We have talked to a lot of census takers. I have personally over the years. And you would be amazed the reasons people don't want to have their vote counted in the census, or have their head tallied in the census, shall we say. And yeah, the reasons are varied, from people not trusting the government to somebody afraid that they're going to have their immigration status questioned. There are a lot of questions behind that, you know. And you know, one of the things we discussed in that meeting was, you know, we've got a pretty substantial homeless population in this county. And how do you count those folks? You know, we've got a lot of migrant workers that are actually legal U.S. citizens, and how do you count those folks? There's a lot of challenges here to getting a true census count that is valid.
And it's really important in terms of taxation. School districts need to have an accurate count of students to determine the amount of money we get from the state and the federal government. But really, the most important thing is the amount of federal money that comes here. It's determined by population, isn't it?
A big part of it is, absolutely. You know, not all of it, but there's definitely parts of that they base on that. You know, we currently, our last you know, this opportunity zone that we have, two different zones in this county, those are based on census tracts. And so getting proper information is critical for this county.
If you're just joining us here now on KVNF, we're talking with Don Supas. I'm Eric Gould from KVNF News, here with DJ Felix Belmont. And we are going to maybe shift gears a little bit here to finish up the show here in June and talk about veterans. Yesterday at Confluence Park, there was the opening ceremony for the Armed Forces Festival, which is happening in Delta all this weekend. It was the arrival of the Vietnam Memorial Wall. A replica of it is here in Delta for this weekend. I did some of the coverage for that that I did today on the newscast, and I saw you there, Commissioner. I was just wondering, what was your reaction and impressions after that event? Had you seen the wall before?
No, this was the first time I'd seen the wall. You know, the part that's still the most awe-inspiring of this whole process is seeing some of these veterans come to that wall and seeing guys that you've known for a long time just break down because, I mean, it's just so incredibly powerful. You know, it was truly a great experience to go and talk to some of those guys and get to hear some of their stories. That was my two boys. I've got 9-year-old twin boys, and they were there yesterday with my neighbor who served a few terms in Vietnam. And he took them to the wall and showed them a few names of people that he knew in Vietnam. And just very powerful, very powerful.
Yeah, I know Felix, our own Felix Belmont, this is a subject close to your heart, of course, a World War II veteran yourself. I wondered, have you ever seen the Vietnam Wall?
Yes, I have. I think it was before I came to Pay On. Anyway, I went early on after it was completed. And it's this beautiful marble thing, and it isn't just a straight wall. It has variations and so on, and the whole history of how this, I forget her name, this relatively young girl designed it. I mean, she submitted her design along with all these others, and her design was accepted. And some people were uncomfortable with that, but as it turned out, it's a thing. And if you ever go to Washington, you absolutely must go. Yeah. And whether there's any names on the wall that actually are like related to you, friends or something, but just watch the people
absolutely
that come, and they the way some of them touch the wall, the way. I don't know if they still do it, but in the early days, people were leaving all kinds of mementos down on the ground in front of the
wall. There were a few of them left in Delta yesterday.
There were.
Yes.
Yeah, it's unlike really any other memorial. You know, it's not a statue or something.
Right.
It's something you have to sort of think about as you look at it, because the wall itself is simply a wall and a whole bunch of names carved into it. It's beautiful marble and all that, but the significance of it is, well, there's nothing quite like it.
No, I would agree.
And it's very rewarding and quite emotional. And of course, if there's someone in your family or something that actually was involved, then you can get really, particularly if they didn't come back.
That's right.
It's a very emotional thing.
And Commissioner, I wondered, what is the situation for veterans here in Delta County? You know, one thing that I noticed out there yesterday was Delta County has a very large population of veterans, also a large number of people who are currently in the military. And I wondered, as Commissioner, have you seen much interaction with this group of people in our county? Have you talked to veterans a lot? And what is your impression of the kind of issues they face here in Delta County?
You know, the veterans in this county, they do face some issues, but we're very fortunate in this county. The county commissioners have appointed a gentleman named Brian Ayers, who is our Veterans Affairs Officer in Delta County. And Brian does an absolute amazing job for our veterans.
He served in the Air Force.
He did. Yeah. And I would encourage any veteran that needs any kind of assistance at all, even if it's a simple question, contact Brian. Let him help you out. The county has him has an office for him. He does have an office in the county building. He's not there full time. But several days a week he is down there, and reach out to him, give him a call, and he can answer a lot of these questions. If he can't answer it, he can put you in contact with the person that can get you the answer. And Brian does an absolute fantastic job for this county and the veterans of this county, because like Eric said, we have a large veteran population. We are above the state average on veterans in this county.
Indeed, I remember Mr. Ayers. I was on town council here in Paonia with him. He's a former trustee. And yeah, I was in the Air Force. I believe he was a major. I didn't know that he was part of that. Do we have a Veterans Administration Department in Delta County?
Well, it's Brian's the Veterans Affairs Administrator. He's the one that is kind of the coordinator for veterans. He will make sure that if somebody's having trouble with benefits, somebody needs to get put into the right contact with the right people. Brian is the person that takes care of that.
Well, outstanding. I appreciate your time, Commissioner. And you want to wrap us up there, Felix? I think we're all done.
Yes, I think that's just about our time. We appreciate, Don, your coming up. We appreciate very much this, and I say this every program, and I mean it, and I like to renew it every program, by saying that KVNF is forever grateful for the support that we have received over the years from the commissioners. And we appreciate you and your colleagues taking the time to come up and talk to us. And I just would remind you that we are all completely open to having not just the commissioners, but department heads and so on. And anytime you want to bring a department head or substitute a department head for your own turn and so on, they're most welcome. Just give us a little head start so we can organize a few intelligent questions.
Eric, I think he's tired of seeing me up here. What do you think about that?
But maybe so.
No, maybe Felix, I will take you up on that, and I want to take the opportunity for, as far as the commissioners go, we really want to thank KVNF for the service you do to the community.
Well, we thank you for that, and it's been a very interesting and rewarding relationship both ways.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. That will bring our Delta County Commissioner's Report for June to a close. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould with Felix Belmont. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.